Wings are full of eyes, all around and inside. Day and night, without ceasing, they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We'll be singing a song this morning that is in Latin, and it's using the text that is based on this portion of scripture here. It's called Sanctus. The words are Sanctus, 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 Deus Sabaoth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Pleni sunt caeli et terra, gloria tua. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to the Father. Pray that you enjoy this number.
Sure. Good morning to everyone. I'd like us to look at just a couple very basic, simple questions this morning, which if we look at them and answer them honestly, we find that they have very, very profound implications for what it means to be a church. And goes along with our theme for this quarter, we are one community. As we seek to answer that question, do you belong? And you can start thinking of that already. Do you belong? My first question is, how does one become a Christian? What's the basis for becoming a Christian / church member? And then what does that mean? In other words, what, after you become a Christian, how does your life change? What are some of the ramifications, the effects? How does that impact your relationships? So, that first question, how does one become a Christian? First, I submit to you, first you believe. First you believe. And we know from Scripture, Romans 10 verse 9, I believe we'll have that up there. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. Yes. If you declare with your, what? Mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe. Says that, doesn't it? And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, you are a believer. And we know, incidentally, that the earliest, the first, if you will, confession of faith for those first believers was simply, Jesus is Lord. That was it. Jesus is Lord. But that meant a lot. It meant that Caesar wasn't Lord, Jesus was Lord. And when we talk about believing, we should realize that belief is not just a mental assent. It's not just something that happens in your mind, but as the scripture said there, you saw, you believe where? Remember that? It says, believe in your heart, which means it's a very deep, profound thing that affects a person at the deepest level. And so faith, belief, is a total commitment of all that you are to all that God is. That's faith. That's believing. I think, too, of the example of the eunuch that came from, is it Ethiopia? Is that right? I think so. Met up with Philip, the deacon. And after Philip helped to explain to him the scripture, Isaiah 53, and he understood and believed, he was on his way to becoming a believer, was he not? Yes. And even in our church, every church, our church, there are certain minimum beliefs that we have, right? Yes. A person needs to know what they're getting into. So belief is very important. And I submit to you that we are very good at believing. We're good at teaching. We're good at presenting doctrine that is faithful to the Scriptures. And if somebody teaches it and presents it and it squares up with the Scriptures, we will believe it. We're good at believing. And that's a good thing. After you believe, what's the next step? Then you are baptized. You believe, and then you're baptized. I think of the scripture, Acts chapter 2. We'll have that up there. After Peter preached this powerful sermon at Pentecost and told them who Jesus was, what had happened to him, it says there, when the people heard this, that message, it says they were cut to the heart. Again, affected them very deeply. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent, which, by the way, simply means a change of mind. Change your belief, if you will, and be what? Baptized, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So after one believes, then they are baptized to signify their identification, their incorporation into Christ. And we are reminded of this, Jesus' own words, Matthew 28, part of the great commission that Jesus gives to his disciples. He says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So again, we're good at believing, and we're good at baptizing. We are helping people to see that the biblical, the logical next step, if you believe, is to be baptized, right? It's true. That's what Scripture teaches. So to become a Christian, you believe certain things, and then you are baptized. But that's not all. There's another step. There's another new reality that is created. Something that happens after you believe and after you are baptized. And we get a hint of this in Matthew 28, verse 19, that we just looked at. Notice again, if you will, and sometimes we breeze over this, we don't think about it, and even when we have a baptism, we sort of take it for granted as part of that creed or saying that is repeated time after time. But it says, you are baptized into the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So we get a little inkling of that next step. What's that next step? What are we baptized into? We are baptized into Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a community of the Godhood that already exists. We are baptized into a fellowship, a group, if you will. Right from the beginning, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this eternal community that has always existed. You and I, after we believe and then are baptized, we become a part of that community. Which, then, this is from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul, after speaking of this reality, how we come together in Christ as one, notice what he says. Consequently, or as a result of, you, he was speaking of the Gentiles, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but what? Fellow citizens with God's people. There's that community. and also members of his household. So the point and the step I want you to see, there is believing, there is baptism, and then there is belonging. There is belonging. Now in Christ, baptized by the Holy Spirit, we form one body with all these different interactive parts. And we belong. We belong because of Christ's saving activity. Because we have responded to it, we belong. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a new reality. No ifs, ands, or buts. We belong. We have a place. But I would submit to you that there is still work to do. Because the fact that we belong has implications for our lives. And belonging, though it's a wonderful truth, and I like to say it, and you know, it looks really nice up on that banner, doesn't it? We are one community. Sounds nice, doesn't it? But it's just on paper. It's just on paper. It's just a concept. It's just a beautiful sounding abstract thought until we make it real. It changes the way we relate to one another within this new community that we are. Our scripture reading, Romans 12, I want to look at just the last two verses of that again, which to me are extremely significant. Paul's talking about the human body. He's talking about the church as a body. Talking about relationships. And verses 4 and 5, he says, just as each of us has one body, one human body, many different members or parts, those members, he says, don't have the same function. Then he switches to the spiritual reality, verse 5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Right? Here we are, one body. And each member belongs to all the others. That's the line I want to drive home to you this morning. Each member belongs to all the others. Now this, again, this is a statement of fact. It's a new reality if you believe and if you have been baptized. You are now a part of this new reality. Which means I no longer belong to myself. I belong to you. Sorry, folks. You got me. And you don't belong to yourself. You belong to me and everyone else around you. What if we took this seriously? Are we really one in community? Again, it sounds nice and it looks nice on our banner. But in reality, it can be a pretty messy thing. This truth, this reality of community. And because it is messy at times, and for other reasons. You know, we are tempted to just stick with believing, being baptized, and then we sort of shy away from belonging. That important, I would say, vital aspect of Christian faith. But when we do that, when we don't give the proper place to belonging, it's easy to argue from Scripture that we are not being holy Christian, that we are neglecting a significant part of what it means to be a Christian. Brought some of my Legos with me today. I want you to think of yourself as a Lego. Legos are meant to be attached to one another, are they not? And a Lego by itself is nothing very special. Sorry, I didn't have any bigger ones. But this one, by the way, has 48 spots on it. That's the kind of church member you want. It's got 48 openings. This one's got 8, and this one's got 8. But you know, a Lego by itself is just a block of plastic. But then you put the Lego with another Lego, and maybe another Lego, and look, it's an eagle. It's an airplane. When the Lego pieces are put together, when they are attached to one another, something new happens. And Legos are meant to be in relationship to one another. They are meant to be attached to one another. And if they, in fact, do not ever become attached to another Lego, they really are not fulfilling their purpose as a Lego. We could say that a Lego is only truly a Lego when it belongs to other Legos and comes together in this attachment. And I think of us, each of us, like, you know, we're separate Legos. And it's possible that we come week after week, but we aren't ever attached to one another. And consequently, nothing new is ever created. You know, God's plan, when He calls us together, is to create something new that none of us could ever make on our own. And it's only as we belong and then are attached to one another will the dream that God has ever be realized. I think of what happened in the early church that we looked at a couple weeks ago in Acts chapter 2, where all these incredible things started taking place. The people started caring for one another, giving their property and their money so that others' needs could be met. They committed themselves to the fellowship, to each other. And this brand new thing happened that had never happened before. So if you are coming week after week and you've got all these open places in your life or on your Lego, then think about, do you really belong or not? Think about that. To belong is a privilege. It's a blessing, but it's also a responsibility. The question, again, do you belong? We can say yes, unequivocally, by belief and baptism, I belong. But then the other question I want to raise to you, are you, am I living out the truth of belonging? It's like God says, here is this new reality. Again, it's on paper. Now I need you to live it out, to experience, and then to draw others in to that experience of belonging. And in a sense, in a very real sense, it's not real until we make it real. We can talk about community. We can make our banners until we are blue in the face. But until we live it, it's not real. In other words, we have work to do. Now, some of the responsibilities we have to one another. As I said, they are privileges, they are blessings. But I want to share a few of those with you in the next few minutes. And I want you to look at them as a kind of test, if you will. Okay? Just as a way for each of us to evaluate your degree of belonging. Okay? Think with me for a few minutes on these, if you will. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 talks about what it means to belong. Okay? Paul says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, or if someone stumbles, you who live by the Spirit should do what? Mind your own business. Doesn't say that, does it? Says you should restore that person gently. Don't miss that part either. And then verse 2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now those, by the way, those are two, they are imperative statements. You know what an imperative statement is? It's a command. It's a command to someone who is a believer. And Paul is saying, here's how you ought to conduct yourself in the community of the church. And so my question in response to this text is, when is the last time you helped restore someone? That you picked them up, you prayed for them, and you reminded them of the patience, the power, the mercy of God. Of course. This presupposes that you actually know someone has stumbled and that you're close enough to them to be aware of their circumstances. Second question, do you know the burdens that somebody has? Do you know what they're going through? And again, this picture of sharing the burdens of another requires us to come alongside the person. You know, if you're going to carry a burden, you got to be close to them, right? You got to be close to them. If you're going to help them carry something. If you're going to take some of the weight off of them, close proximity is required. Intimate knowledge is required. And if we don't have that closeness, if we don't have that knowledge, how can we ever help to bear the burdens of somebody else? And by the way, please know, it's not just realizing that we are called to do this for others, but the others to whom we belong, they are called to do it for us. So there will be equal times when we are on the receiving end of that burden bearing, burden sharing. So when is the last time you had somebody share your burdens? When is the last time somebody picked you up after you had stumbled? Another scripture familiar to us, Proverbs 27:17. We looked at this one a couple of weeks ago in our discipleship class. 27:17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now that verse looks pretty obvious in its understanding, doesn't it? But maybe not all of it. In fact, it's not. On the surface, and it's true, on the surface it's saying other people help us to grow. Other people help us to become better. There are benefits to being in relationship. We get sharper. But, and Rebecca brought this out in our class 2 weeks ago that I didn't see. You know, iron sharpens iron. One person sharpens another, brings out something we didn't see in and of ourselves. She mentioned, iron sharpens iron requires friction. I didn't think of that, but it requires friction, conflict. So if I have a knife sharpener and a knife, when I bring them together, yeah, the knife gets sharper, but it requires friction, does it not? And if I just go, if I'm not close enough to the sharpener, if I'm not close enough to the other person, what's going to happen? Yeah, not much. Not much. If you and I are not close enough in relationship to one another, we're not going to grow. We're not going to get sharper. Now, many of us, don't like friction or conflict. And we may be tempted to pull away. But that would be wrong. We would be missing one of God's ways in which we grow within the church community. And so I want to ask you this morning, how is that sharpening process going? And remember, it's reciprocal. We help to sharpen, but we also get sharpened. Another scripture, James chapter 5, verse 16. Again, a familiar scripture to most of us. James writes to us and says, therefore, confess your sins. Some Bibles will say confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Again, another question for us. When is the last time you shared your faults with someone at church and asked them to pray for you? Or someone talked to you on that level and said, I really need prayer in this area. Would you pray for me? To do that is not the easiest thing to do. But again, it's a command. It's an imperative statement. It requires for us to go beneath the surface. Requires us to be honest and transparent with each other. Requires us to have an environment that is safe, where people know that if they, what's it say? Confess your sins, your faults to each other, you know that people aren't going to talk about them, they're going to pray about them. And I believe when we take seriously the truth of Scripture, the fact that we belong to each other, this will just be something that happens regular and ordinarily. It will be a usual part of our fellowship at church. One last scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. The writer says, verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we tend to focus, and we use this verse in Bible studies, on verse 25, where it says, don't give up meeting together. And we use that to say, you need to be at church. And you do. We do. It's true. But if we're just coming in an isolated sort of way, then we're missing the point of coming to church. If we just keep coming as a single Lego, unattached, we might be coming to church, but we're not experiencing belonging. And I believe the message here is, we're told to meet together faithfully so we can encourage one another. Not just for the fact of being at church so you can, you know, check off, I went to church, but to come for what you can give and get in relationship to one another. Again, the writer here is speaking about community and fellowship. And if you're going to motivate, says that, doesn't it? It does. It says, think about ways you can spur one another on to love and good deeds. If you're going to do that, and if we're going to receive motivation and encouragement, we must be close to one another. Those sorts of things flow out of a relationship, a shared responsibility for one another, based upon belonging. So, each of you need to answer for yourselves, how'd you do on that test? Did you pass? Did you pass? In practice, not in theory. In theory, we all belong. We do. But in practice, do you belong? Are you giving of yourself to others? Are you encouraging them, praying for them, sharpening them? And then are you, am I, being encouraged? Am I being sharpened? Am I being prayed for by others? My challenge and appeal, and I need, yes, see my wife coming up as usher to, I wished I had some Legos to give out to you, you know, real ones, but I didn't want to let go of my Legos. They are too valuable to me. So I got some pictures for you. Just as a reminder, the one you're getting, it's not attached anywhere. And maybe you'll put that in your purse or wallet or on your refrigerator. And I hope you'll just think of, do I belong? Do I belong? Am I attaching? So my appeal is very simple, very simple. Is simply to imagine yourself as a Lego. That's my appeal. Imagine yourself as a Lego block. You've got some spaces open in your life. This year, this quarter, fill them up. Attach, attach, attach to somebody. Let somebody attach to you. There are people who don't have any attachments. They need to be attached. Look around for them. And ask yourself that question, do I belong? Make it safe for you up here.